is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ, our Lord.
Shall we pray? Father, as we begin this season of Advent, we thank you for the revelation that we receive from you about yourself. And we pray, Lord, that as you reveal yourself more through your word this morning, may we have hearts, mind, and spirit to respond to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This second week of Advent, we focus on John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist strikes us as a very interesting character in this Advent season. Well, why do I say that? Because his appearance is one that is very unusual. He also had a very simple lifestyle in the desert. And the simplicity and the unusual nature of his appearance invites comments. His clothes were made of coarse camel hair with a belt around his waist. His diet was very simple but nutritious, I believe, because his diet includes locusts and wild honey. Not the kind of diet that many of us will enjoy, especially Singaporeans. And the image that he projects somehow seems rather incompatible with the task that was expected of someone who is supposed to have stature, polished appearance, as well as credentials. What was his task? It's to bring the comfort of God to his people, as well as for him to make known the greatest event that was to happen since the creation of mankind by God, that is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think about his simplicity in terms of the life in the desert, it actually was intentional. Not because he was so poor he couldn't afford anything else, but it was intentional, and it's really a part of his message to us, as we shall see. So he was to be a man simple but insignificant, insignificant in appearance, but at the same time, he was a man who is significant in terms of his purpose and his mission here on earth. Now, as we think about his significance, it was actually something that was prophesied, something that was expected. In fact, the angel had told Zechariah, his father, that he was to be born and to be given as a gift to him and Elizabeth, his mother. In Luke chapter 1, verse 17, the angel said, "And he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." He was to be born for the task at hand. And also in Luke chapter 15, the angel told Zechariah in verse 15 that he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Great in the sight of the Lord in spite of his rather humble and insignificant background. Now, Matthew, or Mark rather, started his gospel about Jesus Christ by focusing on its beginning, in the passage that was read, Mark chapter 1, we see the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ. And here, Mark highlighted John the Baptist, and he particularly mentions three important roles to be played by John the Baptist, and he quotes from a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. John was to be a prophet, firstly, a prophet who was to bring comfort, and this was done as a voice calling out in the desert, in verse 3. A voice of one calling in the desert. A lone voice, but a clear voice, a powerful voice that was to be heard and that was to change the mind and thinking and attitude and lives of people. And Jesus also acknowledged him as a prophet in Matthew chapter 11, verse 9. And secondly, he was to be an evangelist. His role was to bring hope and comfort to the people through his preaching. And he was to be preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins to many. In verses 4 and 5. So that's his role as well. Bringing forth the word, speaking the truth that the people needed to hear because of sin and their need for repentance and forgiveness of sins. And then thirdly, he was to be a forerunner. A forerunner, someone who is to go ahead of somebody else. And as a forerunner, he was to bring hope and comfort, preparing the way for the Lord, so that when the Lord comes, people will be ready, because this is the time for them. This is what they needed to hear, because Jesus was to be a man whose time has come, and they needed to hear this Jesus the Christ. And that's why John was born to become the forerunner, bringing hope and comfort, preparing the way for the Lord. Now, John was noticed by people in the desert when he first rose to prominence in spite of his simplicity. People were already interested in listening to him in the desert. And he ended up drawing the attention of all the people of Jerusalem who went out to hear him. In verse 5, we are told that the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the river Jordan. So he had a large crowd. When you think in terms of not only people in the desert, but especially more so when he was drawing the attention of all the people of Jerusalem, you can imagine the crowds that will be gathering to hear John the Baptist. Now, I believe that John was a great preacher and evangelist. To be able to command the attention of the people from the desert to Jerusalem, they came out to listen to him. He must have been a great preacher and evangelist. But as an evangelist and a preacher, we notice that John was not distracted by the glitter or temptation that success as a preacher or evangelist can bring about. We hear of great evangelists and preachers, and we hear also of how some of them have been distracted by the glitter and temptation of their success, but not John. He was not distracted by the glitter or temptation of success and popularity. Why? Because he knew he was born for that purpose, to bring people to the knowledge of the Christ. And he was born, therefore, with a deep desire, not for name, not for honor, not for success. That was not his calling. That was not what he was born for. Even though the success was incidental, it came with what he was doing, but that was not what he was born to do, to receive and to be enjoying, the glitter, the temptation, the success, and the popularity. He was born, however, with a deep desire to reveal Jesus Christ to the people. And I guess in his heart, he knew that was what he was called to do. That was what he was born to do, to reveal Jesus Christ to the people. John wanted the people to really hunger for Jesus. He wants to whet the appetite, the spiritual appetite of the people, so that they will turn to Christ and acknowledge Him for who He is, the Son of God. He didn't want the people to be enamored by Him. Rather, He would rather have people hungering for the Christ. That's why He says that's why we are told that He gladly decreased so that the Christ will increase. That's why He gladly was willing to become less, and that Christ must therefore become greater than Him. That's John the Baptist. And so from the desert to Jerusalem, people were to know this Christ whom John was not to be the Christ, because some of the people were wondering, who exactly is this John? So there could be confusion, but John was very clear in his mind. He wanted the people to know this Christ. And he was merely someone who was born to introduce this Christ to the people. People came to hear John preach repentance from sin. And he says, this is what I'm tasked to do. And he is the one whose sandals I'm not worthy even to untie. So that's how much he thought of Christ and how little he thought of himself. And this simplicity, this humility, this unwillingness to deny himself was a source of his joy. It was what gave him joy, to be able to stand in front of the crowds of people gathered to hear him and to direct their attention, not to himself, but to the Christ who was coming. That was his source of joy. And he says in John chapter 3, verse 29, my joy was completed when people turned their attention to Jesus. He knew his task has been done or completed. So for him, nothing was more satisfying, nothing was more rewarding, nothing in life was more meaningful than for him to carry out this task to make Jesus known. That was the greatest joy that John could have, to make Jesus known. And his success as an evangelist, it was to serve a greater purpose, so that people would then be channeled and directed to the Christ, who is the source of salvation, that they will know that Jesus is the one that they should focus on, because he is the one who came to this world to save mankind. John has done his work well, because many turned to Christ as a result of what he did. Now, in this season of Advent, we are beginning what we know as the Christian year. The Christian year. As you know, our Christian year doesn't start on the 1st of January, but starts the first Sunday of December. And the Christian year is not a chronological year that we are thinking about. Rather, I would suggest that the Christian year that we know as is supposed to be a sacred year, a year that is sacred. Why sacred? Sacred because we are supposed to make time, and we are supposed to take time in order to relate our time to the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Our time is focused on our Lord Jesus and his ministry, so that in our daily life, we find ourselves anchored in Christ, and our daily life is therefore lived for Christ. That's what the Christian year is all about, Christ and Christ alone. So anything, therefore, that has to do with our Lord must be sacred, right? It is sacred because it has to do with our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this sacredness is to be translated into how we live in this season of Advent. How do we live in this season of Advent in all its sacredness and spiritual meaning, in other words? Now, like Mark, who started his gospel account with Christ's coming, and John as the forerunner, we start Advent by reminding ourselves why John was so focused and committed to his sacred calling to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. We ask ourselves, why was John so focused and committed to his sacred calling? When John saw many needing repentance and baptism, I believe that what made him realize even as more urgent and critical his task to be is to make Jesus known. Because he knew that so many people who come, in fact, I would say all of them, needing repentance and baptism. And so his task of making Jesus known became more urgent and critical. And he rose to the occasion and make sure that people come to know this Jesus as the Christ. So it's imperative for us in this Advent season that we do not forget, just like John, that God's comfort in Christ has come. That we need to make known God's comfort in Christ. And therefore, we need to see our task as a sacred task. A sacred task to make known that Christ's comfort, that God's comfort rather in Christ is available to any and everyone. Now, John was not distracted, neither should we, with all the busyness around us. At this time of the year, we are very busy, not only in church, but also in our personal life as we think about what we have to do as we approach the end of the year. As the year closes, there are things we need to tie up, we need to complete. And so life gets very busy, and we can be so distracted. But John was not distracted, and neither should we be distracted, simply because of the importance of what needs to be done. John did not lose sight of his calling, and he didn't forget what he was born to do. And so neither should we, because we also have been called, as well as born, for this task, to make Christ known. God created us, and God saved us in Christ, and so we are reborn for a purpose. So in a sense, we are born for a purpose, we are born for this task of making Christ known to those around us. John, as I've said, his greatest joy was making Jesus known. And surely, especially at this time of the year, it must be our greatest joy as well, because it ties in so much with the beginning of the Christian year, with Advent, with Christmas. What greater joy could there be for us as we celebrate this event or this time of the year than to make known the comfort and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? This could not be a better time than for us to experience this joy afresh. So this is what Advent should be: bringing hope and comfort in Jesus Christ to the hopeless and the comfortless. And whilst we are celebrating, whilst we are so busy, and even people who are celebrating and get caught up with the festivities, they could be living lives without hope and without comfort. And sometimes the festivities that they involve themselves in may merely be distractions for the hopelessness and the fact that they are without comfort, because they need to have a diversion. And sometimes I wonder, when they are involved with all these festivities, It is to take away the pain of being hopeless, of being comfortless. So let us be sensitive in the task that God has called us to do. The people that we know, are they living lives without hope? Are they suffering because they are without comfort? And they may not show it, but which we ourselves must be sensitive enough to know. So, if we are born for this task, then this is what we have to do during this season of Advent and Christmas that is to come. Let us be aware. Let us be sensitive. Let us be loving enough to seek out those who are in a state of hopelessness and without comfort, because they are the ones who need to know that Christ has come for them to receive hope and comfort. And you and I, we have been called, we are born for this task. So let us do it for their sake. So I'd like us to respond to the coming of Christ ourselves by enthroning Christ. So I'd like us to stand as we sing this song, "Jesus, We Enthrone You," during this season of Advent. For He is Christ the King who has come in our midst.